Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Just right on the cusp of the afternoon here at noon on Monday, February 26th. This is Mike Vandervoort. We're doing another show around SHRM18 and the Blog Squad at hashtag SHRM18. And actually, we're going to talk to our first official blogger, which is John Thurman. John, welcome to DriveThruHR. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
We appreciate you taking the time to schedule the show, and the royal we, I guess. I appreciate you taking the time to do the show and let myself and people who will listen in get to know you a little better. John, we were just talking in the pre-show. We've met briefly a couple times. Don't know you that well. So that's one of the cool things about doing these kind of shows is it helps not only me but other people get to know you, you know, if we haven't had a chance to encounter in real life. So before we start running down through some questions, why don't you give us your bio and kind of the things you do? I know you've got your own podcast and a few other things. So let's hear about that first.
Sure. So, I appreciate that. I've been in the industry for almost 20 years. I started as a public school music teacher, figured out very quickly that was not what I wanted to do, and went to a temp agency to be a temp. They said, you'd be good at this. I said, what is this? And started my career in a temporary agency, and over the years have moved from temporary recruiting to executive recruiting, third-party management, and then into corporate roles. Was in a corporate recruiting team for quite a while, led a corporate recruiting team, and then somebody came to me and said, hey, what do you think about labor relations? And I said, I don't know. I've been yelled at by managers for 10 years. I'll go get yelled at by the unions because I didn't know any different. So kind of started the second portion of my career there in labor relations and was really enjoying that time. And about 4.5 years ago, unfortunately, like many folks that may be listening, I got laid off and had to go find myself, got very involved with the HR community online at that point, and now I serve as a field human resources manager for a utility construction firm. I'm based here in Richmond, Virginia. My company is based out of Columbus, Ohio, and I'm responsible for recruiting, teammate relations, training, all that kind of good stuff. But why we're here today, last year, when I was not able to attend SHRM 17 down in New Orleans, I got together with my good friend Wendy Daly, and we decided to do a Not at SHRM chat the night before New Orleans started. And lo and behold, we had a lot of people show up. There was a lot of interest. We heard we were getting recognition at the conference, which was really, really fun to hear. And we decided to move from Not at SHRM to what we were calling the HR Social Hour. And it's a chat that we do the fourth Sunday of each month at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. It's a chance really to either unwind from the weekend or to ramp up for the beginning of the next week. Have had a lot of fun and a lot of success there and making connections and building the network. And that morphed into a conversation about, hey, how can we expand beyond Twitter? Because Twitter's a great thing, but not everybody's there. And led to us to starting the HR Social Hour Half Hour podcast, which launched almost a month ago now, and interviewing folks that we know in the community that we think other people ought to know. As we say, it's really it's like if you and I sat down over a cup of coffee and talked a little bit about you and your particular skills and background in the HR world, but then also some more fun kind of things that maybe you get to know, your favorite movie, your favorite books, things like that. So we're having a lot of fun with that, and the invitation to participate with the blog squad came to me as quite a surprise. I was very appreciative, and it's exciting because it's just another step in this adventure that we've been taking over the last many months.
That's cool. Just because I've been a labor relations nerd for 30 plus years, what kind of labor were you in? What were you working with, contracts and unions or negotiations?
Yeah, day to day, all the above. I was the kind of the day to day representative with four utility related unions up in the Northeast. So very unique, unique set of backgrounds and issues. We can certainly talk more offline about it. It was a lot of fun. Did the day-to-day stuff when it came to grievances and arbitrations and what have you, but served as the second chair at the table and unfortunately negotiated myself out of a job.
I did that.
But again,
I've done
you know,
that
people
more than once myself.
Yeah, you know, people tell me they said you're crazy to go into that world, but I tell you, I really enjoyed it. It's a very unique business a lot of times, and as long as you understand the machinations of the folks you're working with, I think you're okay. But wouldn't trade that experience for the world. Working now for a non-union organization, which is not a bad thing sometimes. But like I said, everything has a challenge, and I'm glad I had that opportunity when I did.
It's something that isn't as prevalent in today's HR world as it was when I started, or even when you started.
Sure.
There's a huge, and you mentioned public school music teacher. There's a huge case being argued today in front of the Supreme Court called Janus being J-A-N-U-S, Mark Janus versus AFSCME, and it will likely decide whether or not public sector unions like school teacher unions and others are allowed to continue to do mandatory union dues fee deductions from their checks or not, and could really alter the public sector union landscape, depending on how it's expected, how it turns out, and it's expected to be that they'll rule in favor based on the previous case. But anyway, today's a huge case that most people won't have heard about, and the guy that's arguing it in front of the Supreme Court is going to speak at a conference that my organization Q is putting on in April. So I'm really, it's really kind of interesting to, you know, watch this. I've never been in public sector as an HR person, but it's anyway. So that has little to do with what we're supposed to be talking about, which is SHRM 18. So you sounds like you got invited because you've been doing a lot of work in terms of social media, and especially the podcast and the Twitter chat. Certainly SHRM has its own pretty successful Twitter chat with Next Chat that I believe is on 3 p.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday, run by Mira Kaler. I always miss it because 3 p.m. Wednesdays seem to be a time I'm always working. But it's cool that you got invited, and I think it's also interesting that, you know, we're starting to see all these different sorts of media streams coming out of SHRM. It used to be pretty much all bloggers writing blogs, posting on their own blog, you know, their own blog and on the SHRM blog, and now it's podcasts and videos and record, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I think that's really, I mean, it's certainly the way technology is run, but I think it's interesting. What are you, John? What are your hopes to accomplish at SHRM 18? I mean, are you going to work with Wendy? Are you guys going to do some separate, some together? What's your game plan?
Yeah, so it's a great question. We have some things that we will be doing together, certainly because we are seen kind of as that HR social hour team. We are doing some things separately as well, and I will be doing some interviews prior to SHRM 18 with vendors and potentially some speakers, and then together, you know, obviously working with the blog squad and talking to others while we're there. I think the you mentioned the kind of the diversity beyond the written word. We obviously want to get to where the people are and where are they following and what are they seeing. And you know, you've been doing this a long time too. It's kind of fascinating to see just how much has changed even in the last 4 or 5 years, but you know, particularly in the last bit of time when it comes to you know, how do we engage. And you know, really Wendy and I see what we're trying to do, you know, our way of giving back to the HR community with the social hours is to again help people understand why it's important to have that network and to build your network, because it obviously can be global now. You know, you look at the squad that's put together, and they're from all corners of the earth. I've met some of them already, you know, when I attended SHRM 16 in D.C., and it's kind of mind-boggling if you step back even, you know, maybe 10 years. I don't know about you, but if I step back 10 years and said, well, I know people in Australia or I know people in New Zealand that are doing what I do, and that much of what we deal with is universal at the end of the day. We're all dealing with people. We're all dealing with, you know, at the human nature at the end of the day, and regardless of regardless of background or industry or even, you know, within the HR world, our particular skills, it's still dealing with people. And so I think that that's one of the things that we try to make sure people understand is, you know, while you may think you're a department of one somewhere, there are people out there that would love to connect and work with you and help you and maybe, you know, be that shoulder to, you know, or that voice you need if you are kind of on your own, or, hey, I'm in this place and I'm struggling. What can I do? And that's what we're trying to do. That's our goal with the social hour and all that we've done. And I think hopefully that will reflect in some of the materials that we put out. But yes, to connect with folks and help them understand what's out there. How can you get better at what you do, and how can we help you with that?
Yeah. You know, like you said, 10 years ago, I mean, it's weird in a way that, cause it seems like I don't remember the time when I did HR without social media. And I mean, I remember it, but it's, you know, it seems so long ago that it doesn't seem real, that the network that I gained and the people I can reach out to. But I do remember when I first started my blog, back in like, I don't know, 2007 or 8, somewhere in there, one of the few HR blogs that was out there, one of the first people I met was Lori Rudiman and then Maren Hogan and some others, more on the recruiting side, because they're always a little more, they're always a little bit more in the early adopter stage, I think, trying to get an advantage on recruiting than us generalists. But met a bunch of folks and then, you know, started looking around after about a year or so and realized there weren't that many European people, and we weren't talking about Europe or Asia or any of that stuff. So I used to do an intermittent series on my first blog that I called Over There, and I invited bloggers that were blogging in Britain or, you know, Europe somewhere or India or whatever that I ran across to post about stuff that was happening in their part of the world. And I met Bill Borman, and he was one of the first that did that. And now literally all these conferences, and to your point, the SHRM event, which has always been international anyway, but it's so much of a bigger presence. All of that just seems like the way it's always been. And it really isn't. It's like a decade old, maybe, for a lot of us anyway.
Sure.
I did my usual in-depth research about 2 minutes before I dialed in to talk to you. So you've got the Twitter chat, and you've got the blog, the podcast. Do you blog? Do you write on a blog as well, John?
I do not. And then again, I think that's where I was very appreciative of the opportunity, because that has been the thing that has eluded me, I feel like I microblog very well with Twitter. So I try to stay very involved there, not just with the chat and with Next Chat, with the HR Social Hour, but that's kind of my preferred venue of voicing what I think. but I do not have a traditional blog, in that sense.
Yeah, and I certainly didn't mean that in any condescending way. Andrew and I
talked about
that, because he said Andrew pointed out on a show on Saturday that some of the bloggers that are on the team this year are strictly those people who maybe post on LinkedIn, you know, on their LinkedIn profile, which is, you know, a sort of blog. And then some that strictly write for the SHRM blog. So they, you know, even SHRM itself has widened its scope, because I think the majority of us in the past, you know, the first years, we all had our own special blog site and everything. Even that's changed a lot. And it's just interesting to me that, you know, all these things have sort of just become like drop-in forms of communication, you know, no matter what the platform. What really matters more is the group and who you're talking with and reaching out to and having some impact on, I guess. I'm going to switch away for just a second. We have – hold on. My screen has decided to save some energy for me here. We have about 15 minutes left. You and I were chatting just a little bit yesterday, I guess it was, on Twitter, and you mentioned something about being killed in Batman, and I wasn't really sure exactly what that meant. So I'd like to know if you were literally featured as an HR character in Batman, and somebody gave you the whack, or if it was.
I was not serving the HR profession in Batman, but no. I got very involved in the comic book community 10 years or so ago. Started attending a lot of conventions and my son was very young at the time and was a budding artist, and so I would take him to shows to meet creators and to show his artwork and to get, you know, to get coaching and insight on what he was working on at the time. And so similarly aged to a lot of the folks that were working in the business and started to make a lot of friends and, you know, see people over and over and over. And then you extend out beyond the convention floor, you start to go to dinner and you just kind of hang out and get to know folks. So yeah, over the years I've been drawn in G.I. Joe, which is my thing. I'm a huge G.I. Joe fan. I was drawn into an issue there with my son when this is about 6 years ago, I guess now. But we were in an issue where they attended the San Diego Comic-Con and the G.I. Joes were chasing the Cobra bad guys. My name is the bad guy's ice cream truck in G.I. Joe. So you see Thurman's ice cream every issue that the ice cream truck shows up. It's Thurman's ice cream. And that's because I knew the artist at the time that was working on the book. And, well, one of my friends, his name is Tom King. Tom and I had met 5 years ago at a convention when he was just selling novels that he had written. He had written a superhero novel, was trying to break into the business. I've been involved in podcasting outside of HR for a long time, especially in the comic book space. And so knew him through some friends and, hey, by the way, listen to your podcast, what have you. And, well, fast forward 5 years, Tom King is now the primary writer on Batman for DC Comics. He has won pretty much every award that they give in that industry. So I say he's won basically the Oscar, the Tony, the Grammy in the last 3 or 4 years for his work with DC and with Marvel. But I guess, yeah, maybe 6 issues or so ago now, Tom, in his infinite wisdom, shouted at all his friends and killed everybody with different villains that Batman faces. And I was killed by a villain named Firefly, who is also the name of a G.I. Joe villain, and so it has a double meaning for us because he's also a G.I. Joe fan. So, yeah, it's this weird little world that I love being part of, because just like I have my HR friends and the people I know there, you know, I have friends that, you know, literally I can walk into a store and a friend of mine drew, say, the artwork on Hot Wheels packaging, or, hey, I know this guy did storyboards for this commercial that you're seeing. It's a really, really, it's a lot of fun, and it's very different. And so was having lunch with Steve Brown back in December, and he goes, how in the world did you get killed in Batman? And that was that was the whole story, was, you know, again, just this whole world of and connections, and again, that network that I have in that world, and I have so much fun doing that. So yeah, that's how I got killed in Batman. It had anything to do with HR, thankfully, but again, it's a lot of fun, and I look forward to other opportunities. I know I was drawn as the pilot of a ship that was trying to escape the Earth orbit as it was getting destroyed in a British comic strip. I haven't heard if that's going anywhere, but you know, yeah, something to keep me busy and entertained, right?
So do you get like an autographed piece of artwork with your, you know, with you being killed from Tom?
I'm really lucky. I own all the original artwork from G.I. Joe that I'm in, and my friend, his name is Shannon Gallant. Shannon actually did the design of our podcast logo. I got a stack of books to have him sign my entire family. So, for example, my sister said, "Hey, it's your last name too," and for my uncle, it said, "You know, your nephew's still a dork," and that kind of, I mean, it was hilarious. He wrote everybody a personalized note, and, you know, my mom keeps them in a drawer, so when her friends come over, she can pull out this drawer of comic books that have our name in it, and she can show it off. And it's, even at my age,
that's
it's still
really
kind
funny.
Of fun that my mom does that.
Your mom's like, here's all my kids. Yeah. So you live in Richmond, right? Or somewhere
in
Virginia anyway.
I'm in the Richmond area.
Yep.
I've been
up
here close to 20 years now. Grew up in the Louisville area, mm-hmm. Louisville, Kentucky, and lived in Chicago, Nashville, Kansas City, ended up here with my wife. It's almost 20 years now. So it's home, I guess, technically, right? I think it's the longest I've lived anywhere other than as a kid.
I grew up in Michigan. I was born in Ohio. I grew up in Michigan, but I think of Michigan as home, although I haven't lived there since 1988.
Sure.
But I also think Florida as home, because I lived there for 12 years, and it was really the place I was most comfortable. Might go back there one of these days. You know, home is defined by your mind, where you're happy, you know, that kind of thing, right? That's more philosophical than we should be on in Drive Through HR. This is supposed to be an easy listening podcast. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we moved here at the time with my wife's job. She was working as a music therapist and felt like, hey, I can get a job recruiting a lot easier than she could necessarily get a job. But that, even back then, that was a fairly new industry, even though it's really not in the bigger picture. But, you know, it was harder for her to get work then. So we said, hey, let's move. I can recruit a lot easier than she being a music therapist. And like I said, we've been here ever since, and it's been really good to us.
How far from D.C. is Richmond? Like an hour or a little more than
100
that?
Miles. It's 100 miles, but with traffic, you can take your pick.
I know. That's certainly true in Atlanta. I drove something that my GPS said was a 13-minute drive the other night, and it took me 45. So it's all
I typically will hop on the train up in Northern Virginia just from parking and everything else. If I'm going to go into the district, I can stop up in Northern Virginia, hop on a train, pay $3 or $4. And, you know, especially if you go on the weekend, free parking, $3-4 each way to take the train, and it's a lot easier. And mass transit in D.C. is quite good. So,
but 100
miles sounds good, but it's not that way.
My son he's working on Capitol Hill right now on a fellowship
for a year with
the American Political Science Association, a fellowship that he got. And he had been at Syracuse University, and he lives in I live in Sandy Springs, Georgia, and he lives in Silver Springs, Maryland. So we're taking up all the springs right now. But he uses the metro all the time, and that and the taxi system in D.C. is probably the best of any city I visit in the U.S. Even better than Chicago in my mind, because the taxis in Chicago are great. But anyway, let's go back to term 18. Have you done some writing or in your case, talking to? You said vendors. Are you going to talk to any of the speakers?
So right now I've got at least a couple of vendors lined up. I'm looking at the speaker list. I don't have anything recorded, but, yeah, we'll definitely have some things in the mix in the next couple months for sure.
You mentioned Steve Brown. Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
My mother, I say I learned it from my mom. She could talk to a tree, a stump. A rock and make a friend. So I'd like to think I'm extroverted. Mm-hmm. I get out and, you know, I certainly am not shy.
You found your way into several different communities of interest the comics world, G.I. Joe and HR, not necessarily totally in the same line, you know? Yeah. I think I'm an ambivert. I'm an introverted extrovert. I can be extroverted for a while, but then I have to go away and, like, you know, lay in the fetal position for an hour and just recover. It's a lot of work. I was joking. I was just going to ask some random questions, but these seem to always come up at conferences. So Pepsi or Coke?
Well, it's Coke Zero, but in all reality, Big Red is the greatest soda ever made.
And we mentioned Fago,
and it's regional. If you've been to Texas, Texas or Louisville, because those are the two places where they bottled it. So, yeah, I grew up a Big Red fan over anything else. But, yeah, Coke Zero now.
Diet Pepsi for me, or more likely water. Bacon aficionado? Do you have the strange HR fascination with bacon that everyone else
I don't have a fascination. I enjoy bacon. I also really enjoy Scrapple, which is certainly it's a Philly thing, I think, more than anything else. But there is a place here in Richmond that does it quite well, a diner that I frequent. Probably once a month I'll go over there and have some Scrapple and eggs just for the whale of it. But I enjoy bacon, but it's not I don't have to have it. How about that?
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's strange, but we're not judgy on drive-through HR, so, you know. I keep trying to explain to non-HR people this, how much everybody loves bacon when we go to these SHRM events, and they look at me like, you've been drinking this morning? You know, I think they get it conceptually. I don't think they understand sort of the group enthusiasm about all things bacon that HR seems to have. So anyway, what else, John, what else is on the horizon? You've got your podcast going? I guess you're saying every week or once a month.
So the HR Social Hour Half Hour podcast comes out each Thursday morning. We're getting ready to release episode 4 this week, and then the chat, the actual Twitter chat, is the 4th Sunday of each month. So we just had our chat last night. It was all about side gigs and paid and unpaid, and we had a really nice crowd and a great conversation about defining for some people, what is a side gig and is it something you're paid for or not? And if you're looking for one, how can we help you find one? And if you have one, what kind of advice can you give to help out? I want to leave the heavy lifting to the next chats, the work trends, the other chats that are out there that are awesome. We really try to keep it kind of light knowing it's a Sunday evening, again, working your way out or working your way back into the week. But we'll have our regularly scheduled chat will be the 25th of March at 7 Eastern time. And then I also serve as the social media director for Virginia SHRM, so helping getting messaging out for the upcoming conference that we have April 22nd through 25th is Virginia SHRM, which will be held over in the Omni Homestead way out on the other side of almost to West Virginia. So doing some messaging and getting the communicating, spreading the word about that event coming up as well.
Cool. For me, I'm in the midst of planning my own organization's conference, which is running in Tampa, April 15th to the 17th, and it's actually a labor and employee relations conference. We have about 300 people typically, and it's a lot different than a SHRM event, but we cover that little portion of labor and employee relations really, really in depth, and we've got some great topics coming up. I'm going to Work Human, which is another thing I'm helping to promote a bit. In early April, I've been to that a couple times, really looking forward to that, and then SHRM National. So those are kind of like my three big landmarks for the next for the first half of this year, and I'm not traveling as much as I normally do. We have just about 3 minutes left. I kind of ran through my silly questions. Is there anything short, John, that you'd like to share? Just in general about yourself or kind of some of the things you're working on. I saw on Twitter popped up that Kevin Smith, the comic book and movie guy, Kevin Smith.
Had a heart attack, yeah.
Had a massive heart attack,
Last night. And, again, the power of social media that he recognized he was ill and I guess canceled the show and ended up at the hospital, and thankfully they were able to help him. I guess that is a kind of a message to all of us. Make sure you take care of yourself if you're eating the bacon. Get checked out.
Yeah.
No.
Bacon has consequences. Yeah. I know.
We're going to Chicago. Right. We're deep dish and everything else. So it's and beef,
the Chicago
beef sandwiches.
Dogs, Chicago steak, no, I camp, yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited about the opportunity. So I lived in Chicago and lived in the burbs for a couple of years. So I'm excited to get back to Chicago. It's probably my favorite big city in the country to visit. And just really excited to get to see folks in person. Obviously, for us to get a chance to talk a little bit more, as I mentioned in pre-show, we saw each other in D.C., kind of waved in the bloggers' lounge for a moment there, and that was about it. So certainly look forward to getting a chance to visit a little more in person with you and with not only the bloggers but some of the folks that I know that take part in the chat and we'll be there as well. So it's just exciting times and really looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it as well. I did a little unusual. Instead of booking at a SHRM hotel with the buses, because with Uber now you don't really need to worry so much about the buses, and they tend to be a pain in the ass. So I'm staying at a bed and breakfast somewhere up a little ways from McCormick Place. So I don't know how that'll work. I've stayed at bed and breakfast, but I've never done it for SHRM. So we'll see. Anyway, all right, we're down into the last minute. So, John, I want to thank you for being on the show. Appreciate your to close out, tell people one more time, podcast, Twitter handle, all that kind of stuff, where they can find you, John Thurman.
Sure, absolutely. So, again, Twitter handle is at John, J-O-N, underscore Thurman, T-H-U-R-M-O-N-D. I'm on LinkedIn, certainly happy to connect there. Just shoot me if you'll personalize the invite, let me know that you heard me here or know me from the chats and what have you. I'd appreciate that. HR Social Hour Half Hour, the Twitter chat fourth Sunday of each month, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the HR Social Hour Half Hour Podcast is released each Thursday morning. That's at hrsocialhourpodcast.podbean.com.
And on that, we got 4 seconds. John, thanks so much. Talk to you in Chicago, if not before. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You bet.